With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and with me as ever is Marek Larwood.
Now, what you won't know, listeners, is that we, just a few seconds ago, we probably did our best ever introduction to Film Fandango.
It was dynamite.
And then I noticed the record button was flashing.
It wasn't recording.
So now you've got this introduction.
It's sort of flappy and disappointed.
And what happened in the previous introduction?
Well, it's wonderful. We were just zipping along.
Well, David said, with me as ever is Marek Larwood. And I wanted to get him to do more, more and more bored, which he did. Can you give an example of that?
With me as ever is Marek Larwood.
And more bored.
With me as ever is Marek Larwood.
And then I asked him to do an impression of saying it, with me as ever is Marek Larwood, as if I was holding him hostage and he was talking to you, the listener, down the phone. And he was trying to communicate. He was being held hostage. But to me, the hostage
man,
he was trying to sound normal. Can you do that again for me, David?
With me as ever is Marek Gunwood.
Bam, and he died. That's what happened. Nothing's ever as good a second time, is it? Apart from...
That segues nicely to our guest. with us today is Mr. Humphrey Carr.
Hello. If you think nothing is ever as good the second time, what about the third time? This is the third time I've been on the show.
Yeah, it's true.
You've been on it more than
what
three times.
What films have you brought previously?
I brought Bridge Too Far.
Bridge Too Far, How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Wonderful, we talked about it last week.
And there was another one that I was sitting there I didn't like.
Oh, what was that?
It was Absolute Radio, you were talking about something.
I wonder what that was. I feel like those are really the only two movies I've seen. It's hard to believe I brought
them. Do you even like films?
They're okay. They're no video games.
Oh.
I had thought I was coming on Video Game Fandango.
What would you have talked about then?
Well, what wouldn't I have talked about? There's so much to talk about.
Have you played GTA 5?
I haven't actually. I'm not excited about GTA.
What about Frogger 64?
That I have. I will not stop playing that. I'm playing it right now on my iPhone.
I'm playing it in my head continuously.
And losing again and again. I just many dead frogs.
Those logs are damn slippery. And all those cars coming down the other way.
It's terrifying.
There's something very psychologically bleak about playing a game over and over in your head and always losing.
Yeah.
Especially such a simple game.
That's probably one of the signs of a serial killer, isn't it?
Constantly playing Pong and losing.
He seemed like such a nice guy, but he kept losing in his own mind.
Yeah.
He was so quiet and polite. Although he did keep going, goddamn slippery logs.
I'm not quite all polite.
No,
well, that is true.
Neither of those things. But you might be a psychopath. The jury's still out on that.
You're one of those people that, like, the roving news reporters would be really thrown off by interviewing their neighbours and be like, oh yeah, definitely saw that one coming.
I wonder if I did go mental and kill people. I'd like to see what people came out and said. We always knew.
What do you think your neighbours would say? Well, the thing about Marek was he never kept himself to himself.
Well, I've got disputes with my neighbours because they're really noisy and it's a really bad... Previously, my previous neighbours flooded our flat, so
had them killed.
Yes, and the new neighbours, they've got a cat that knocks things around on their wooden floors at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I just shout out swear words. So probably what they know from me is there's the bald guy downstairs who, while we're playing with our cat... Shout expletives
at 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
wow.
So that's what they'd be there saying. We always thought he was had a lot of anger inside him.
Yeah, it's an open and shut case, really, isn't it?
What would they say about you, Humphrey? Would people say you were a psychopath?
I think.
Well, or would you be the one that when they say, "Oh, we know, he was such a nice guy"?
Yeah, I like to think so. Well, I mean, at the moment, I live in my sister's attic, which feels
that's a
like,
good that's a good start.
Feels like step one of things. Yeah.
Does she know?
She's loosely aware. I make her think I'm a ghost.
How many holes have you drilled through the floor?
Well, none actually. But Eccleston-ing. I do hump the bed a lot, so eventually, I imagine I would drill a hole through.
Nice one. Hang on a minute. Is it a mattress just on the floor?
Yeah.
Because I thought if you're going to go through, beds are normally about.
Yeah, they're a long way off the ground.
What's this got to do with films?
Absolutely nothing.
Shallow grave, you guys.
Shallow grave. It's like
a shallow grave.
And I think
he's done well for himself, hasn't he?
What? Shallow Grave?
Old Danny Shallow Grave Boyle.
And what was the lady in that?
Yeah, she's not done so well.
Was that Claire Fulani?
I don't know. Don't know her name.
I think she did quite well.
Oh, did she?
I'm thinking of the lady from Trainspotting.
I can certainly name Ewan McGregor and Christopher Eccleston.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. I can even name Keith Allen.
You can. If you name him three times, he appears.
Oh, no, that'd be a nightmare.
Vindaloo.
Eric went to the cinema this week.
I think we're on topic, actually, because the film I went to see was Prisoners. Prisoners, you ask? What's that about?
It's not had a big push, has it? But I've seen... I've not even seen the trailer. I've seen some posters. Hugh Jackman,
Jake Gyllenhaal. What's the worst thing...
The Dream Team!
Yeah, what's happening? What's the worst thing that could happen when you're having Thanksgiving?
Okay, the turkey explodes.
Hmm?
The worse. Turkey turns into the thing.
Bit worse.
Chestburster comes out the turkey.
It's in prison.
May your children get kidnapped.
Oh,
yes, that was going to be my next suggestion.
Yeah, I didn't realise. I didn't mention you've got
you're
a family.
Right, then there'll be far too much turkey.
Then how are you supposed to eat all that stuff? And you really think, oh, we already had leftovers for a week.
Merrick, you know,
now it's 2 weeks.
I hate waste. I'd have to eat it all.
It's going to be off. And I mean, what can you do with a turkey? Turkey pie. Turkey cold meat salad.
Sounds turkey horrible. Alandian.
There we go.
Yeah.
I suppose actually it's not so bad after all.
There is a silver lining.
So the prisoners are his children.
Okay, so there's two families. There are Hugh Jackman's family and also another family.
Right.
Terrence Howard. You will recognise that actor. He's been in lots of things.
Yes.
His family.
Iron Man's. Friend, wasn't he in the first
until
movie.
He was
he's
fired
got, he's got a very good face anyway. They're having Thanksgiving, a normal family thing. Their kids go missing. Oh no. They get the police involved. The police officer is played by Jake Gyllenhaal. Buddy the dog is growling. It's almost if he can tell there's a
twist kids coming.
Yeah. And the main suspect is played by Paul Dano. You might know him.
Paul Daniels.
No, not Paul Dano. Although he would be. If he was seen, he would instantly be the prime suspect.
He'd go straight to the top of the list.
Paul Dano, who's in There Will Be Blood and Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, yes, he's the young preacher in There Will Be Blood.
Yes, and he's in Ruby Sparks more recently. He is the sort of mentally impaired suspect who's driving this trailer van, who becomes the main suspect. And it's all the aftermath of what happens with that. I hadn't really heard about this film, hadn't been pushed. This is a top film.
Really?
Brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Really great.
Properly good thriller.
Really brilliant. Some really great acting. Jake Gyllenhaal is really interesting. When he tries to play someone normal,
yeah,
I don't buy it. Because, you know, his breakthrough film was Donnie Darko, I suppose. And in Source Code, he's very good.
Prince of Persia, I totally believe he's Persian.
But he's got these eyes that he looks...
Persian eyes.
It's a bit like Zodiac, this film. It feels like a tighter version of Zodiac. Even though it's 2 hours and 26 minutes long, which I thought, oh no, this is going to be a real slog. When I thought it's going to be a real, sort of, actors doing their actory thing slog. It's brilliant. Really, really great. Lots of twists in it. Jake Gyllenhaal is great as a quirky... that detective who is a bit off kilter. He plays it perfectly. Cool. I think he does a really great performance. Hugh Jackman's really good. The cast are great. Oddly enough, Paul Dano, who's trying to play a romantic lead in Ruby Sparks, is more sinister playing a romantic lead than he is playing a possible paedophile
suspect.
He's a sinister
actor, isn't he? I mean, he's
he
got
plays
that...
this really well. I think it is odd. It's a twist. There are lots of twists going on there. It's an epic film. There's lots of things going. I got what happened, the main thing. I guessed it sort of halfway through.
Okay.
It's just a really good thriller, a good long... It's really, the weather's a really good part in this. You know, they've got the whole sort of autumn, the fall feel. They've got the rain coming down, the snow, the whole, everything's quite bleak. It's graded in that sort of Nordic noir grade. Yeah, everything's got lost its colour. The characters feel like they're three-dimensional characters. They're asked a lot of moral questions where you put yourself in and think, oh, what would I do? Well, it just keeps you interested in the film.
Well, is Hugh Jackman good? Because I'm sort of...
Is your jury out on Hugh Jackman?
No, I'm not jury out. I think he's solid. I think he's solid and good and dependable. I've never seen him sort of excite me or do anything particularly interesting.
What's he been in, Hugh Jackman? What have I seen him in?
The Wolverine stuff.
Right, he's a big metal robot.
Yeah, that's right.
He's also in the fighting thing, Pure Steel, is he in that one?
He's the big metal robot in that.
Real Steel.
He's the father of the robot.
Right.
The Prestige, he plays...
Lamez.
He plays Victorian Wolverine.
How can you not know Hugh Jackman? You're mucking him out, aren't you?
I am...
Kate and Leopold, you'll have seen.
That's it, Kate. I'm with you. Yes, Kate Leopold. He plays Leopold.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman?
No, I actually really like him. I think he's like, you know, I hated Les Miserables, but I thought he was the best thing in it, basically.
Yeah.
I know he went to Anne Hathaway's big wobbly face. That was sort of widely admired as the best part of that.
I don't understand that either. 20 minutes of just trying to cry and everyone craps their pants.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different film.
Yeah.
I think Hugh Jackman, for me, is solid in this.
I love The Prestige. I think it's excellent. I had no idea that you were going to say this film is properly good. I might go and see it. For me, my guess was going to be it was going to be around a sort of similar quality to Trespass. You know, that Nicole Kidman, Nicolas Cage thriller that you just... awful.
I'm not that surprised. I mean, I'd heard from people in the States that it was very good, or like, I've read some reviews and stuff that it's done very well in America, because I watched the trailer and was like, I mean, movies like that, just if it doesn't have an animated dragon in it or people crossing a bridge, I'm not interested.
Well, but your proclivity for dragon films, we were talking about this last week, and Flight of Dragons, with the exceptions of Flight of Dragons and How to Train Your Dragon, hard pressed to pick a good dragon movie.
Have you seen Flight of Dragons?
No, I haven't. What is Flight of
the
Dragons?
The best, my
it's
number one
favorite
film
of all time.
Really? Best dragon animation ever. I can't believe it. See, this is what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, we were.
On episode 100, that big anticlimax episode.
It was.
Well, maybe we shouldn't go into it in too much detail, but off air, perhaps you could tell.
Yeah. Well, Marek can maybe lend it to you.
I can tell you a lot of stuff off air.
Yeah, I know. If only people have what we've been talking about before the microphone started rolling.
Wow.
That's how it works.
No. Well, for the first time.
You can never go back. How many Mareks would you give Prisoner?
I give it 9.
9 Mareks?
It's really great, this
9
film.
9 out of 10 Mareks?
Yeah.
Wowza.
It's really great. I'm really impressed. It's just done really well. It is
Who's the director?
The director is Denis Villeneuve. I don't know if he's related, or Denis Villeneuve. I don't know if they're related to Jacques Villeneuve, the Formula One driver.
Maybe.
Possibly.
He's previously... I don't really know anything he's directed before. Maelstrom, I think he's... Where's he from?
Sounds French to me.
His brother's French-Canadian.
Good to know what his brother is.
I don't know. I think this is a surprise hit. I was going in with no... The problem is I think expectations have a huge factor
huge
for me. And I had nothing on this. And the trailer, you think it's an average thriller. I thought it's just like, oh, this is a competent thriller that, with Hugh Jackman being, he's a sort of pair of safe hands. Jake Gyllenhaal is also becoming that sort of pair of, a bit more quirky pair of safe hands. But I sort of dealt with a lot of issues. There's a lot going on about what is morally right and wrong. And when you put yourself in a situation as parents of whose children have been kidnapped, what lengths will you go to, and how do you justify certain behaviour? There's a lot of questions it asks, which are interesting, which a lot of standard thrillers may shy away from.
Okay, it's certainly a step above Taken.
So much better.
My children have been kidnapped. Genre.
Wait. I mean, surely you can't judge those two films against.
Those two
we've just hit upon another
films.
Movie that I like.
Taken 2. Have you seen Taken 2?
Taken 2 is totes BS. but Taken 1 is...
I didn't mind Taken 2, but nothing happens.
Yeah.
His wife and daughter get kidnapped again, and he gets them back seemingly in one long sequence. It has no dynamics at all. There's no up or down. It's just like, he's just chasing them, and then ultimately he wins. The end.
I put Taken into that, like, sort of, you know, transporter crank. Like, it's a whole subgenre of movies where you can't really... They exist outside the spectrum, the Marek spectrum.
The spectrum. Marek spectrum sounds a bit like some sort of autistic world.
It definitely does.
Or an abandoned computer project of yours.
That's an incredible sci-fi movie.
The Marek spectrum.
Everyone's bored and looks like me. This is not in the... Where it's taken is the wrong side of reality. You know, this is in the other side. Okay. It's in the big drama side of a thriller.
Cool. Well, I might go and see it. Yeah.
I would really recommend it. If it's raining for 3 hours, or you need to get yourself off the streets for a long period of time.
The most ringing endorsement in the cinema world.
Go to see Prisoners.
Brilliant. All right.
I'm in.
Well, middle section. We haven't done it in a while, but we thought we'd do the challenge again.
What is the challenge?
The challenge is where we recast a famous movie with people of the current day. We've had a request from at WeebleNY.
That's Anne Coletta, I think.
On Twitter, who's asked us to recast The Shining. So that's exactly what we're going to do. And Humphrey, if you could be arbiter of our decisions.
I shall. I'm going to be the Judge Dredd of the challenge.
Yes, but the ultimate failure or success of our new movie is now on your shoulders. So there's a lot of pressure.
And by the way, I wasn't joking when I said I'll be Judge Dredd. Whoever loses, I will shoot a Hayek brand in their head. Hayek.
I love that film. Have you signed the petition to get a sequel made?
I have, actually.
Me too.
I never bothered doing things like that, but I did because I
loved
the first one.
Yeah, I don't help Prisoners of War, but I help I help the career of Carl Urban.
Well, I feel like we're more able to sway backers of a relatively low-budget sci-fi movie than we are the government of Bhutan.
It's fair enough.
What do you sign? You say you don't. That's the only thing you sign petitions for films, not for actual people.
I don't talk about my charity work, Marek. You know that.
Okay.
Because it gets really embarrassing really quick.
97% of your life is spent helping some people.
I am never off the Amnesty International website.
Yeah.
Trolling
them.
Those people being held...
You
bunch of pricks!
Those people being held kidnapped have actually said to you, can you stop writing letters now? Because they're getting too many.
I feel like it's counterproductive. Yeah, you're annoying them.
Yeah, you're a bit
the
too...
last thing these people need is you asking for favours off them all the time.
You've got nothing to say. You write one every day. I mean, nothing's there. I watch TV. It's getting really bored. It's like a 14-year-old's diary.
Right, The Shining. So, Marek, do you want to go first?
Should we just go for
doing the three characters of Jack Torrance, played by Jack Nicholson in the Kubrick original.
Who's Jack Nicholson?
He is...
Have you seen Mars Attacks?
Yes.
Well, he plays both the president and the owner of that casino.
Done. Yeah. Okay, I know who it is.
Then Wendy, his wife, is played by Shelley Duvall.
Yeah.
You know her. And then we have the man with the shining powers who tells Danny about it, played by Scott Mankin.
The caretaker.
Yes, the caretaker. What's his name?
Dick Halloran.
Okay, those are the three people we're going for. Okay. We decided not to go for Danny because he's a child actor and who knows their names.
Yeah.
My problem is with the original Shining. I share these opinions with my good friend Stephen King.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm reading the sequel.
Oh.
Right now, just start reading it.
Dr.
It's very
Sleep.
Different. Yeah, very different. I don't rate Jack Nicholson's performance in this controversially.
Interesting.
I think he spoils it.
Whereas
One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest, he gets it just right. He's so big in this, he's comical. He's the reason The Shining's not more scary. I'm not scared when Jack Nicholson's
You can't
there.
Argue me down off this because it has such a sort of influential part in my psyche from seeing it when I was 5 years old that I... We've talked about this.
But I don't think he's scary because he's too comical in it. It ruins it for me. He's just playing... It's like watching Jack Nicholson in a scary film rather than the character he's playing.
JCVD.
Yeah, JCVD.
Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Oh, of course, yeah. I do think that. I think it's him just doing his Jack Nicholson mad thing. And that's
it works in Tim Burton's Batman very well. It works in
But Batman's a bit like that anyway. That comic, you can see it will work in that.
Yeah,
that's got that heightened thing. So
let's go for Dick Halloran first.
Oh, could we go for last?
What? Oh, right. Is that
so I haven't got mine yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna go for Jack Torrance first.
Okay.
It's really obvious my one, but who could have played this and made it 100 times scarier? And possibly, who would have made this the best film of all time?
Oh, is this going to be who I think it is?
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
Oh, no, it's not. Okay, interesting.
Imagine him in the Dead Zone, which is a similar sort of character of someone going gradually mad.
Yeah.
Another Stephen King book where he plays someone who can see into the future. When he touches, people can see in their lives. I think Christopher Walken's performance in that and him at that age was brilliant. And him playing... What Chris Walken, he can do when he's playing it really normal and just, he looks scary.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to even try and do that menace. Him in The Shining, I know it's an obvious choice, I think would have knocked it out of the park.
I just imagine him doing Weapon of Choice around the corridors.
Yeah, has Fatboy Slim ruined his chances of being legitimately considered?
Kill the twins, they're dead. I've gone for somebody I think... can do anything. I think he's absolutely brilliant, but his villains are potentially so chilling. He's just got such a weird look to him, but he can also play the good guy very, very well. Is Willem Dafoe?
Yeah, good choice.
I think he would be. I think they're both really good to watch.
I mean, the only modern one who I was going to say
a younger person.
Yeah, the guy who played the bad guy in Superman.
Oh,
what's his
yes.
name with a scary eyes.
His name is Michael something.
Sarah.
Michael Shannon.
That's it, yeah.
From Boardwalk Empire.
I've not seen either Boardwalk Empire or Man of Steel.
He is amazing.
Is he
good? Boardwalk Empire. He's good in Man of Steel, but yeah, I think he's Michael Shannon would be.
But
well, he's not Max Toss.
No, he's not, but he would be good for like a modern day.
Yes.
Okay, so between Christopher Walken and Willem Dafoe, who are you gonna go for?
God, it's tough. This game is tough.
It is
being
tough.
Judge Dredd, I didn't realise how difficult it was until now.
Can I just say kudos on your impression of him?
Thank you. Yeah. I got this close to playing Judge Dredd in the movie. Or Dredd, as he just often goes by. I think, well, first
of
all...
He's not Sir Ben Kingsley. He doesn't insist everyone calls him Judge.
Dredd. First of all, I'm very disappointed that no one's offered up Ron Perlman, who should always be the first choice for everything.
I picked him for... Ron Perlman. I was thinking of Ron Swanson.
Nick Offerman. Oh my God, he'd be amazing.
Marek complained when I picked him for Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh movie because he didn't
know
who he was.
Debate,
he's
that
not,
TV.
He's been in so many films.
He's been in quite a lot of movies.
Anyway.
Anyway, I am going to select Christopher Walken, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Because I know what you mean, both of them. In resting mode, as it were, in goody mode, Willem Dafoe still scares me so much. I think that I need... Walken is terrifying, but...
You need the transition.
Yeah, I think he... Yeah, he creeps me out slightly more.
Walken? Yeah, I think he's scarier than Dafoe.
It's interesting. Well, Dafoe, I think, you're right, he's just got something so creepy about him. Mm. But I saw him in The Hunter recently. Which,
great film.
Brilliant, but he is just... Joe Normal in that.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. He's really good.
Oh, it's great.
But yeah, no, I
definitely.
Can see.
I mean, he's brillo. I think the thing about him is Christopher Walken has something ethereally scary about him. He feels there's a touch of the sort of fey about him, as it were. Sort of, you know,
the Hessian,
the Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the other thing. He's been in one of my other favorite movies of all time ever, so he gets points for that. Sleepy Hollow.
That's what you brought in the other as well.
Was it? I think it might have been.
Yeah.
I love Sleepy Hollow.
Great film.
It's one of my faves. And
it's pre-Bullshit Burton.
Yeah. So yes, Walken is my choice.
Okay. We're now going for Wendy.
Now this was really controversial because I'm just banging on about Steve. I saw an interview with him and he really hated the... I think Shirley DeVille is brilliant in it.
I think she's wonderful.
But he said that it was a really two-dimensional character she had to play.
I haven't read the book. What's she
but
like?
But she's
in the
a
book?
Bit more powerful and a lot stronger.
Okay.
And he thought it was really misogynistic. This portrayal of in for terms that she just screamed the whole time.
But what she's doing makes it so much creepier. I mean, it's just like how vulnerable and trapped she has really helped to the sort of.
I think the car. I think she.
It.
Her face is phenomenal in this.
I know.
And also Scatman Crothers, who we're going to cast as well. I think this, those two are almost impossible to replace because they're perfect.
They are perfect.
Perfect castings.
But it's interesting you should say that. I've gone for somebody who is a bit more headstrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone for someone who's been in a Stephen King adaptation before as well.
Okay.
In the TV movie Tommyknockers.
Yeah, yeah.
I've gone for Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore. I'm a big fan of Moro.
I've gone
with Alan Moore, of course.
For a modern actress, you can do vulnerable very well and tough. In the American Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, she played Rooney Mara, who's got a great face as well. He's got that face that can be vulnerable and sort of clever. I think
would
got
she
a
be
range.
Married to Christopher Walken from the past rather than Christopher
yes,
Walken
yes, I'm
now.
Thinking of Christopher Walken Dead Zone.
Okay.
Sort of 80s Walken. Yeah, probably mid-80s Walken, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to have to come down, and it looks like I'm trying to keep everyone happy here, but I'm going to go with Julianne Moore, because I love Julianne Moore. I think she's amazing in everything she does, and I think she has that sort of, I know she's got more gravitas for me than Rooney Mara, and I think that's a nice thing to be able to kind of play with. Merrick's destroyed over there.
Yeah, I think he really takes these decisions badly.
Do you know what? I thought the rest of
the podcast's a write-off now, just so you know.
What you didn't see then, obviously, listeners, is that David's eyes, he realised when I said Rooney Mara, oh, that's a more adventurous and probably the better choice. So he looked like he resigned himself to losing.
I've not seen Rooney Mara do anything.
Well,
yeah,
well, you're not going to wait. If you were casting director, you never would. Give her the bloody chance, mate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd probably a YouTuber or something.
She's very good.
Before I said no.
Her commercials showreel.
Okay. yeah, she does some fantastic Kleenex adverts, let's say.
Sure.
Right, it all comes down to
decider.
Dick Halloran or Hanoran, Scatman Crothers. Do you want me to go first so you can think of someone?
This is your chance to steal it, Mary.
I've gone for someone I would like to see in a film.
Okay.
Who I think's got a bit of charisma and could play that part. You have to imagine somebody who can really get away with cutting to them in their bedroom that's covered in 70s pornography.
He's so Chris good Tucker. In this film. He's so good.
Not Chris Tucker. I want to see CeeLo Green.
CeeLo Green?
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he have to be a black guy?
No, not at all.
Because
I just was trying to imagine them all together, and I thought that would actually be quite interesting.
I am going to go for M. Night Shyamalan. No. This is, if M. Night Shyamalan directed this, he would be this role, wouldn't he?
No, he'd play the hotel.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'd play this role and the hotel,
he'd play
the maze. Instead of all the Indian things, it would just be pictures of his face.
Every window would have his face reflected in it as he went past. Every single one.
I'm going for someone really boring because I can't. It's such a hard part to cast. He'd play so perfectly. Someone who can do that weird sidekick and still be charming and also a bit sinister, Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
Steve Buscemi. Well, okay.
I don't think it's a great choice.
Let's think about this, because obviously now it's affected by choices one and two.
Well, interestingly as well, Marek's gone for someone in Boardwalk Empire that he already knows you watch and like. So it might have been tactical.
Oh, you're right. Merrick, what do you say in response?
Actually, I'll go for Michael Shannon instead. I'm changing it to Michael Shannon.
And the dragon from How to Train Your Dragon.
Toothless?
Yeah, Toothless. No.
Okay, well, so is it official? Your final answer is Michael Shannon?
Yeah, I think it's more interesting.
Michael Shannon, okay. And I'm sticking with CeeLo
Green.
Well,
in that case, I'm afraid. See, Michael Shannon
is
amazing.
I know it's a difficult choice,
no.
But don't worry.
It's a scary movie.
It is a scary movie.
Michael Shannon is terrific, but he's too sinister, is he not? Like, isn't he too far?
Scatman
like,
Crothers has to be a sort of... he's got an ethereal side, but he is the sort of nice uncle.
But I think Michael Shannon could play nice. It'd be a good casting, because what Scatman Crothers plays that nice uncle, but also there's something otherworldly about him as well.
But yes. CeeLo Green could sing the theme tune.
CeeLo Green's a shit-ass choice.
CeeLo Green is a controversial choice.
I've no idea if he can do it. I would find it interesting.
I'm afraid I have to go with CeeLo Green.
Yeah!
Because Michael Shannon is just... Michael Shannon is... would be such a good shout to play Jack. You know, that's the thing. I think he'd be better for that.
Would I have won if you said if I said Steve Buscemi?
No, because he looks too similar to my
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
Eddie Murphy.
I'm in.
As the donkey in Shrek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Richard Blackwood.
As the donkey in Shrek. Now,
the stage version.
The stage version. Well, there we go. That's The Shining for you, Hollywood. You're welcome. Right. We have, as ever, or not as ever, as we used to, asked our guests to bring in a movie to talk about. And the movie you pricked. Sorry.
What? Yeah, you prick.
That was Freudian. I'm Freudian. I apologize.
I don't think that makes it any better. I just said what was on my unconscious mind.
You colossal ballad.
Come on, stop being a prick, Humphrey.
No. The movie you picked...
Dickhead.
...was...
The movie I picked was Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday.
Touchdown.
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. Film man.
TD to the Miami Sharks.
Can you explain what this is to anyone who hasn't heard
If anyone hasn't seen this movie, it's great. It's basically, the reason why I love it is that it combines my two favourite genres into one film. It is a war film that's dressed up, that's turned up to a party dressed as a sports film. It's about the trials and tribulations of Al Pacino, who plays a coach, a kind of a former great who is a bit washed up, and he's been given a sort of last chance to try and resurrect the fortunes of slightly crummy team, the Miami Sharks.
Second tier team at the beginning of the film.
Yeah. They're not expected to sort of do terribly well. And he's been brought in really because he works very well with an aging quarterback played by
Dennis Quaid.
Exactly, who then destroys his shoulder in sort of game one of the season, and he has to work with the unproven, cocky backup.
Third string. Yeah, the second one comes in and gets immediately annihilated in the same game as well.
Called Steamin' Willie Beamin, played by young Jamie Foxx. He's one of the first thing I sort of am aware of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he was being, he's excellent.
His breakout movie, he's incredible. It's just full of brilliant acting. All sorts of like
incredible
everyone
cast.
Is amazing. Yeah, Cameron Diaz is in it very briefly. She's amazing.
She's the owner of the club.
Icy rich bitch owner of the club.
But then it's got James Woods is like their chief physician and
Matthew Modine.
Modine is his number. He's sort of right hand man.
Aaron Eckhart
is their. I don't know what you call it. The
offensive coordinator.
That's the one. And then you've got John C. McGinley is the press guy in it. And
Yeah,
loads of great people.
Cast is amazing.
Brilliant cast. LL Cool J, isn't
it? Yes, he plays one of the defensive...
He's a running back. And there's also two American football stars as well. Lawrence Taylor plays a defensive linebacker. And Jim Brown, who was one of the greatest running backs of all time, plays the coach.
It's interesting because I was reading about this.
Jim Brown's amazing.
Because Oliver Stone contacted the NFL and wanted to use the real names of the teams, and the NFL refused.
Mm-hmm.
For
okay.
God only knows why. Probably money is probably the reason.
Yeah, exactly.
But so why they're all fictional teams. So the Miami Sharks, and then they play, I think... Now, the Knights, who are from...
The Dallas Knights at the end. Something Emperors of Chicago. There's like two Knight teams, aren't there?
No, there's the Knights and there's the Americans is who they're playing at the beginning.
Right.
The Emperors.
Emperors, yeah.
And the Chicago Rhinos they play.
Yeah, the Rhinos, yeah. But apparently the NFL tried to discourage and stop real American footballers from being in the film.
Yeah.
It's probably a big money thing. But it does, you know... It doesn't suffer from it.
No, it kind of captures the whole thing very well, and it's just a great fun movie. If you like sports movies, which I do, and as I say, if you like war movies, because that's what it kind of it's shot. You know, it feels like it's a sort of.
There's lots of kind of collisions with explosions over the top, almost.
Yeah.
Not as crass as that sounds, but you know. Kind
yeah,
of like,
yeah.
Shoo!
There's some incredible. You know. There's some fantastic stuff where they shoot some of the. There's an incredible sequence in a night game in the rain. Where it's shot in such a way that it's very dimly lit on the pitch. It looks like it's sort of the Western Front or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It's
wet and it's muddy. And as you say, people crash into each other and just, you know, the sound design on the whole thing. They must have had so much fun just being like...
Well, the editing as well. I mean, there are so many cuts. Like, it's... It's really quite interesting. I think it does work. There are many films where that doesn't. It's just like, just hold on it. I'm not getting bored. You don't need to worry. There are over 3,000 cuts in this film. And it just, during conversations, they'll just cut to something else and then back and just like that. And it becomes almost abstract at times.
It's very dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like a real 360 vision of the sport. So you get the owner's perspective.
Yeah.
All the characters are fully developed. You've got loads and loads of stories. Everyone's got the old quarterback worried about his injuries, a new guy being really cocky, losing respect to his teammates, all the egos.
And they're genuinely sort of like, oh God, what's going to happen with
the star defensive player
who has an injury?
Yeah, all the doctors, whether they should report.
Yeah, they go, you know, it's still your call, but if you're hit once the wrong way, you could die. I'm sure this happens all the time in the game. You know,
it shows that side of American football. I'm a big fan of it in real life, but a lot of the San Diego Chargers, a lot of their team committed suicide because of the amount of concussions and brain injuries you get. And I think this sort of has a nod to the physical injuries, which isn't necessarily reflected in the sport itself. They're obsessed with all the winners and what's great. You don't hear about all these linebackers and players
who commit
suicide, and there's a whole load of them who shot themselves in the heart because they wanted their brains to be investigated because of the actual concussion. Like Jim Kelly, the old Buffalo Bills quarterback from the 90s, apparently would say to his wife, you know, should we go and watch that film, and not realise they'd seen the film before, a week before, because of the concussion issues. And when you listen to the games, I watch this Game Pass thing where you see all the games on live. They have all the sound and all the in camera, all the hits. The hits of the head on head collisions with the helmets are incredible. The amount of force and the size of these people.
The ones when the helmet just pops off as well.
Yeah, it's just huge injuries. The injuries are.
Because you're massive on American football. And you're big on American sports.
Yeah.
More of a baseball fan, probably. But
yes.
I you know, I know the rules of American football. I'd not been before, but Merrick and I went to Wembley on
a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
To see the Vikings against the Steelers.
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was amazing. It was really, really good.
It's a hell of a pageant. That's the other thing that I think they capture really well in this movie is that, like, one of the things that American sport is all about entertainment all the time.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant statistic that apparently in an American football game, there's only, on average, about 12 minutes of actual play. The rest of it is spent sort of, you know, the clock keeps ticking when they're moving the chains and all this kind of yada, yada, yada. But they never let you at any moment get bored. You know, the cheerleading, I read a thing about this the other day, cheerleading came in sort of, the 1920s, I think, cheerleaders arrived for the first time, and everyone thought it was like a one-off thing. It was like a one-off kind of, and there were articles written in sort of, you know, august newspapers in the United States saying like this tawdry sideshow. And now it's a massive part of, you know, that now Bring It On, you know, lest we forget that one of the greatest movies ever about the cheerleading phenomenon.
Eliza Dushku,
indeed.
What's her name?
Dunstow. My great crush.
Yeah,
of my teenage years. I mean, still would, obviously, if you're listening, Kirsten.
She stopped listening one episode ago.
Can you imagine?
She was really disappointed by our 100th episode.
Yeah.
She reached 100 and was like, that's it, I'm done.
I'm done now. They still haven't talked about Melancholia, I'm done.
It's, I think it's an extraordinary movie. So it captures all of that. It's like, it's thrilling, it's visceral.
And Al Pacino, the central performance, is just brilliant. He's got that one speech that it's slightly embarrassing to admit, but why not? Why the hell not? We are in a sketch group called the Penny Dreadfuls, Humphrey and I, and our technician Neil, hello Neil if you're listening, used to before shows sometimes play the speech from Al Pacino as a sort of sarcastic warm up for us into battle.
I would always be like, sure, lame, you know, stupid, it's just like a bit of fun, but I would listen to it and be like, oh my god.
It's such a good speech.
It's incredible.
It is so good.
It's like, I'm a real sucker for that, and it's like something out of, you know, it is a very modern, kind of macho, aggressive chunk of, like, Henry V or something like that. It's like a, it's a beautiful piece of writing. And it's, you know, it's been, the clip's on YouTube and it's been watched millions and millions of times.
Yeah.
Because it is just, like, one of the great.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, American sport, it seems to be far more team-based, even though it's based on the individual one skill of each person. Mm. I mean, if you made, it's why I don't think, football, you know, soccer films quite live up to it, because they are far more, certainly culturally, if not, you know, actually focused on the individual. Like, if it was all about the coach of a thing, I know something like The Damned United is, because it's a particularly interesting story of one man's success and failure or whatever, but you wouldn't quite believe that they were all on his side and he was calling the shots, because also, it isn't quite like that.
Football, as in American football, is a brilliantly cinematic sport.
Like,
the way it's structured, the way, you know, it's third and long with 3 seconds left.
Well, just the fact that is part of the game live. The commentator telling you what's at stake at every point of the game, whereas in football matches,
all American sport, very clever. There always has to be a winner. There can be no ties. And also, the clock counts down in American sport. With us, the clock counts up, you know, and it is open to interpretation at the end of the game. You know, there is injury time, there is extra time, it's at the referee's discretion. So, of course, in the great, great football movies, Soccer Dog, that's it.
Escape to Victory.
And Escape to Victory. There are great, you know, there's fun football movies and things, but the joy of American football is you always, whether it's in Friday Night Lights, which is both the movie and the TV show, which is sensational, or An Even Sunday, or Rudy, or I don't know, like any one of a number of The Replacements, a film I genuinely really, really fond of. You know, it can always come down to that Hail Mary pass. And Any Even Sunday has got the best final game, play.
It's brilliant.
But it's like that. I watch American football on a single Game Pass, watching every Sunday, and they show the last bits of all the games.
Mm.
And there's about 10 games on at any one time, and guaranteed there'll be two or three that go right down to the last.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when we watch the Vikings against the Steelers,
the last
9 seconds. It's really the tension of the sport is. And the way it looks, especially on camera, all different angles.
Yeah, yeah.
The camera know, because the lineup's all the same. It's not like football, you have to follow the round. You know where they're setting up. You know some guy's on the receiver following his route. Some guy's on the quarterback. You've got the close-ups. That it's made for TV.
That weird,
it looks brilliant.
Flying drone camera that kept
going.
It's amazing. Interestingly, though, it's an Oliver Stone thing, I think. And Marek and I talked briefly about it before we started recording. Is that it doesn't know where to end. Like, it ends and the match is great and you know what it means for everybody. You know, because they've set it up so well. And then it has another scene after that of them talking in the deserted stadium. And then it has another scene where Pacino is now walking through a corridor with all the press, who apparently are still there even though the stadium's deserted. And then the film just continues over the credits. Like, with the credits all coming up, we're saying, you know, starring Cameron Diaz and James Woods. And they have another scene that's potentially setting up a sequel. Is that cynical of me? Because Pacino says he's retiring and going to another team. And he's also signed James Fox to his team. And they're like, what? And he marches out of there, you know, kind of thing. It just keeps on going. It's got a bit of the Lord of the Ringsy at the end.
For me, it felt like the precursor to Friday Night Lights. Because it feels like it's more than a film. It feels you could separate that into, you can make it episodic. It feels like a TV series because it's following all these different characters, and that's what it's like.
I think it's wonderful. It's 2.5 hours long, and that is a long old film. But I don't think it particularly feels like it.
I think it would be better as that could be a series itself. That could be 6 episodes.
Hmm. And Al Pacino as the head of a TV series would be amazing.
Here's my problem with Al Pacino.
Right,
it's a separate on a tangent. When did he start raising his eyebrows the whole time? Because like in Godfather, he didn't raise his eyebrows at all. He was much better. And Dog Day Afternoon, he didn't do it. You know, he didn't. He had a normal face. Now, everything I'm from watching him in, I don't know what day it was, he's permanently surprised.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Do you think he's had work done?
He's had reverse Botox, so he's got sort of hyperactive forehead.
Botox.
But his eyebrows always, he's got that look
constantly.
That's why he looks completely, I try to work it out in my head. Why does he look different from in The Godfather when he was quite good looking, really brooding, and putting a
young Ryan Gosling almost, wasn't he?
Yeah, a completely different actor in that film. And now he's just, his eyebrows are different.
Yeah.
Someone tell me.
Maybe he was trying to become the polar opposite of Robert De Niro, who scrunches up his eyes all the time. You know,
he was
trying to become the end of the scale, so he was wide
eyes. Yeah, maybe. Incidentally, have you guys? You surely, Merrick, have watched the Friday Night Lights TV show?
Yeah, I started watching it. I got a bit bored of it.
Didn't like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Merrick's a constant disappointment like that.
He is, isn't he?
Hates I'm everything more, I love.
I don't really like TV. I like films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Again, when I go on TV Fandango, that's what I'm going to be taking on.
TV Fandango.
We hate those guys.
We're big rivals, TV and video games, Fandango.
It's Tom Tuck.
And Tom Bell.
Tom Tuck and Tom Bell.
And Steve Hall.
Oh.
And then that's the video games one. And then the TV one is Greg and me.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's
going really well.
It's going.
I contribute nothing. We just can't stop getting commissioned.
Yeah. Everything you touch turns to gold.
Well, on that bombshell, that's the end of this episode. We'll be back next week with yet further films. So thank you for coming on, Humphrey.
Well, I won't be back next week.
No, you won't. Is there anything you want to plug at all?
Please, everyone, sign the petitions. Get Dread major sequel.
Great. Yeah, do that. And we'll be back. If you'd like to get in touch about anything, then you can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or go on our Facebook page, /filmfandango, or tweet us, @filmfandango.
Or if you want to donate to the running cost of this show,
then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there.
We're very grateful if you've done that already, and if you haven't, please do it. All right.
We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.